Hey everybody, this is Mike, your host for the Co-optcast this week. This is actually the intro to episode 65, of which we lost the first 10 minutes of due to technical difficulties. So we're going to skip the what you've been playing section and move straight on into the news, which is arguably more important anyway. And let's move on to this week's news, because PSN's back, baby!
Yeah,
even though I don't think I've played a PS3 game online, since Uncharted 2, it's good that it's back. Sony brought back the online multiplayer on Saturday, or was
it Sunday? It was late Saturday night.
Late Saturday night, the servers came back online, and everybody rushed to change their passwords, which promptly knocked it offline. And they had to reboot it a couple times to get everything going. But you can play games online on the PS3 again. And that's great, because you know what? That really sucked that happened.
I still think the whole thing was kind of surreal.
Like, yeah.
I'm curious, you know, as someone that's not... You know, the PS3 is definitely not my primary system. I play PS3 games, you know, now and again. But as for some people that, you know, that play, like, Call of Duty exclusively on the PS3 and stuff, like, I wonder what they did. Like, I wonder if they jumped ship, you know. You know, there's all this anecdotal stuff of there were high PS3 trade-ins and, you know, Xbox 360 sales went up and this and that. But it's really, at this point, it's just anecdotes. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what really happens. I mean, it was down 3 full weeks. So,
yeah.
That's a long time. That's a lot of lost game time. A lot of, you know, we talked about Brink. Brink came out. It was out a full 5 days before the PSN came back up.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I work in an industry where you promise 99.9% uptime.
Yeah.
And pretty much any online service has to guarantee that. Let's just put it this way, 99.9% of a month is a little more than 20 minutes of downtime allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And PlayStation Network was down for 3 weeks and a day or two, which is absolutely insane that they didn't have some kind of failover system or backup that they could, you know, strip out and mm-hmm. and switch everything over to. Like say they had to take it down for, you know, a day or whatever and just bring the disaster recovery bits online with, you know, stripped down. Like, they can obviously bring bits back a piece at a time because the store's not back up yet. So bring the online play back up and then take anything that deals with personal identity offline. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they have their network set up, and those two may go hand in hand, and they had to bring it all down. But, you know, when you create a service like this, you have to account for being hacked. You know, you can't expect to not be hacked, and no system is impenetrable.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to be secure is to not have anything that could possibly be intruded upon.
Yeah.
So you can't let anybody on your system that has a birthday, an address, a name, a credit card, you know, lungs. I don't know, but it's just mind-boggling that this happened. But, you know, it's good that they brought it back up. And unfortunately, they're not able to bring it back up everywhere, because the Japanese government has asked Sony to deliver proof that their network is more secure and that the customer information is better protected before they're allowed to relaunch it. And yes. As we all know, the Japanese government's preoccupied with a nuclear crisis and building the country. So the amount of oversight being given to PSN in Japan is admittedly quite small, I'd say. So it'll be interesting to see how much longer it gets strung out there. But Sony released a video with our good old friend Kaz, you know, with the shiniest, cleanest desk overlooking Tokyo traffic.
Yeah.
And calmly informed us about all the services that are coming back online. And you know, it was a nice little touch. I always enjoy Kaz, although I wish he would have announced Ridge Racer or something in the video. But Sony actually gave out some details about the Welcome Back program. We knew that they were discussing giving everybody a month of PlayStation Plus and extending PlayStation Plus for anybody that was already subscribing. But they have announced that they are going to give some free games out, and on both on PS3 and PSP. So when the stores back up, every PlayStation Network customer can select 2 PS3 games and 2 PSP games from the following lists. And relevant to our interests, there's some co-op goodness to be had. For instance, on the PlayStation 3 side, you can download a comp copy of Dead Nation and a comp copy of Little Big Planet. And both of those have co-op.
Yeah.
Hey. And, you know, of note, Little Big Planet is a full PS3 game, so that download is probably going to be enormous. But that's pretty cool. Rounding out the PS3 list are Infamous, Super Stardust HD, and Wipeout HD with its expansion, I guess.
Super Stardust HD actually has co-op now. I'm pretty sure that it was patched in later in its life, the co-op mode. So I looked on the site, and we did do a review of it and stuff. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't just DLC.
Cool. And if you have a PSP, you can get the Little Big Planet version for that, Mod Nation Racers, Pursuit Force, and Killzone Liberation. And I've heard that Killzone Liberation is actually a pretty good game.
It is, yeah. It's
so that might be one to check out. The Little Big Planet was pretty fun. I played the demo of that. Haven't checked out Mod Nation or Pursuit Force, but, you know.
Yeah.
Free games is free games.
Yeah, one interesting thing I noticed, some people on our forums were talking about, you know, especially on our site, people have multiple accounts usually for them and their kids and their significant other. They're talking about how they basically are just going to get all the games by logging into each account and downloading the opposite title. So I'm curious if that will actually work or if they're going to tie it to the PlayStation or you know, how they're going to work it.
I think it'll have to be any account that actually registered through PSN. Because I have a few accounts on my machine, but only one PSN set up. So who knows?
Yeah.
There's also going to be a selection of It's On Us rental movie titles. And if you, for some reason, use Music Unlimited or Curiosity or whatever that is, you're getting 30 days of...
You know, it's really sad because I never really read Curiosity. Like, I just looked at it and, like, quickly I was just like, Cutrosity.
Yeah.
Like, I never really looked at the word and tried to sound it out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's what they're doing. Okay. Thanks, Kaz, for spelling it out for me.
And in addition to all that, if you spend time in PlayStation Home, they're offering 100 free virtual items with additional content to be released soon. Including the next addition to the Home Mansion Personal Space and Oobleg's Alien Casino, an exclusive game.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, PSN. Now, just get the store back up and start giving all those developers that haven't been able to sell their wares for 3 weeks, four at this point.
Yeah, so they said that they're going to do multiple store updates a week until they're caught up.
Yeah.
Instead of just a normal PSN store Tuesdays, so that'll be good.
Yeah, it will be good because, you know, people deserve their money. Yeah.
Yeah. So sad.
That's crazy, but, you know, it's coming back, and that can only be a good thing. And hopefully Sony will have learned their lesson and have a more secure network. Okay, so Modern Warfare 3. My God. It's coming.
No.
And I don't think anyone's really surprised, but, you know, the surprise was actually last week when we ran a rumor that Modern Warfare 3 was coming. And later on, Kotaku not only confirmed all that, but managed to leak the entire plot of the game. which to me reeks of being incredibly unprofessional. I mean,
yeah,
run spoiler articles, sure. I got no problem with that. It's when you say, okay, here's the game, top to tail, here's all the plot points, here's who dies, here's who lives, here's what's going on. Like, what is the point of doing that? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily give a summary and be done with it.
You could tell me all of the places that I will fight in no specific order. You could say that, you could hint that characters may die. You could foreshadow the hell out of this, but I just don't feel like you should be dumping the entire game's storyline out there.
Yeah.
There are some of us actually do play Call of Duty single player games and never touch the multiplayer. So luckily I didn't read through the entire bit of the information they posted. But you know, it's just stupid. But I think what is cool is that they announced, or it's allegedly been announced, that Spec Ops mode is making a comeback. And Nick, do you have the details on that?
Yeah, they said that there's going to be, you know, like two flavors of it this time, along with like the co-op missions. There was going to be survival style missions as well. So looks like there'll be two flavors of co-op in the game. So that'll be decent. Like you, I avoided most of the article. I didn't want to get spoiled, and it was just, you know, I think it's obvious that it was a bunch of old Infinity Ward employees that were a little disgruntled with everything and how it went down and
yeah,
everything else. So, you know, the material was probably a year and a half old, you know, because there's leaked assets and everything else with it. But I think it was Robert Bowling, the PR man from Infinity Ward now, said that, yeah, some of the stuff that was leaked was accurate, but some of it is no longer accurate. So obviously, the game's gone through some cuts and changes and everything else, but
yeah, yeah.
Still, it's just, you just don't do that. There's no point. I mean, that was. I mean, to put it bluntly, cock waving. That's all Kotaku was doing there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It made me mad. A lot of what Kotaku does makes me mad. But that was just kind of icing on the cake.
It's a shame too, because that site, there's such a dichotomy there with certain people that write for it and stuff, and some people do some really cool stuff. Like Stephen Totilo lately has been doing a lot of neat stuff with video,
yeah,
and approaching some stuff. And like, he took the time. They just did a comparison for LA Noire with the real actors and the game, and they had side by side footage and stuff. And you know, they're putting time into stuff, but then they, you know, they have freaking Ashcroft there posting the Japanese cosplay stuff every night, and it's like things I can't, you know, you don't feel comfortable having that come up at work. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, they're a major freaking site that posts a lot of news, and a lot of it is very relevant, and
yeah,
so you can't not read it, but it's like a bad traffic accident.
Yeah.
That should be their slogan. Kotaku, we're like a traffic accident.
Excellent. So, I actually critiqued the viability of announcing this during the PSN outage, but the sequel to Warhawk has been officially unveiled, and it's called Starhawk. So, following the Warcraft to Starcraft model, we have gone from Warhawk to Starhawk, and it is basically another Warhawk game, but it has a four-player co-op mode. And it takes place in the future. And...
Well, I think the big thing with it was that it was going to add, like, some strategy elements to it, where there's, like, some base-building stuff.
Right.
There's, like, some, like, RTS-like things. There's the ground combat and third-person view for actual soldiers and stuff. So there'll be a lot of getting in and out of vehicles. I mean, it looks pretty cool. And like you said, it was kind of odd to see that announcement come. I think it was the Friday before the PSN came back up.
Yeah.
So it was close, but there was a couple of interviews, too, for people that went to the event. That mm-hmm. Basically, they asked that and said, are you sure you want to announce this while this is down? And they're just like, well, you know, we can't wait around forever at this point, so...
Yeah. I mean, what were they going to do if PSN was down through E3? Just cancel their press conference?
Yeah, I mean, that would have been... Oof.
Yeah, but it was you know, announcing... Warhawk was a cool game, and it had a following, but it wasn't, like, a super hit, as far as I understand. So it seemed like something they could hold off, delay the announcement a week or whatever. But I guess they figured, since they knew PSN was probably going to be coming back, they just went ahead and ran with it. But we're obviously going to know a lot more about the co-op in the coming months, but it's coming out 2012.
Yeah.
So granted, the world doesn't end this weekend. We will, you know, get to play it next year.
When the world ends again.
Cool. Yeah. So Nick, I heard you like special editions.
I've been known to buy a special edition or two.
I heard you like statues.
Yeah, there's a few statues in my office.
So what if I told you that Gears of War 3 has not only a limited edition, but an epic edition that comes with a Marcus Fenix statue?
I'm thinking it'd look good right next to my my noble team statue from Halo Reach.
What if I also informed you that there would be a Cog medal that came with a unique Xbox Live Arcade code to download an exclusive character for your multiplayer shenanigans?
I would say, tell me more.
What if I said that the crowning piece of all of this gear was a full-size Cog replica flag? You could fly up a flagpole.
I'd say, I can't wait to salute it.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of swag coming with these additions, and let's just run it down. And for the record, you're going to be dropping 80 bones on the limited and 150 on the epic edition. So the limited edition comes with an Octus award box with Octus service medal. A 1-to-1 match in size and height, this zinc alloy cog-shaped medal replicates the award given to Adam Fenix in recognition of his work on the Hammer of Dawn. Man, that sounds like PR wrote it. Anyway, you can unlock Adam Fenix multiplayer character on said medal. You get a fabric cog flag, and much like the journal that came with Halo Reach, there is a personal effects of Adam Fenix, including his last will and testament, the Hammer of Dawn schematic, and other Fenix family mementos. So, in addition to having the picture of Dom's wife that came with the Gears 2 special edition, you can get a bunch of family photos of, like, Marcus Fenix. And
can you imagine just having all that sitting on a coffee table, like a photo album, and someone comes over and like, who are these people? Like,
yeah, just put it in your scrapbook. It's like, oh, that's Maria. She died. That's sad.
The locust got her.
Yeah, they turned her into some kind of hideous wraith who, you know, Dom, he couldn't tell, and then he could, and then he shot her. And that was weird, and spoilers.
Oops.
Anyway, the Epic Edition has all that stuff and the limited edition Marcus Fenix statue. He's by himself. I was really hoping that Dom would be on the statue with him because, you know, that's totally a bro game and you need your bros with you.
Giving fist bumps, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be. They should recruit some of the Army of Two guys and, you know, put that stuff in Gears. And it comes with an Art and Design of Gears of War book, so hey. If you like art books, that's pretty cool. And
make
if you
sure
like
you tell
if
them
you like weapon skins, that's pretty cool as well. But we were talking about this offline, and I was mentioning that it is missing a glue-on beard that is a replica of the one Dom is sporting in the game. And that seems like a tragic misstep.
Yeah.
Because I could totally see an internet meme of people wearing Dom's strike beard.
And it wouldn't be the first beard promo item. The Namco guys, I think it was two E3s ago, maybe it was PAX, they were giving out the guy from Tekken with the crazy beard that sticks out. They were giving him beards out for that.
Excellent. So yeah. if you feel like dropping an awful lot of money on game-related trinkets, yeah, there you go. That's your big purchase for the year. Let's talk about Brink a little more. You may have heard that there were some problems at launch, and there were a lot of patches at launch. You know, the PC got two quick ones, and there was a title update for the 360, and I believe the PS3 version also got an update as well. And they did some stuff, but they've been doing a lot of adjustments to the multiplayer, especially on the 360, because apparently if someone's got a laggy, if you got a laggy host or someone lagging, who's lagging in the session, it brings everybody down. So they've reduced the number of players online to 8. And yeah, so they've also announced that the first bit of DLC coming in June is going to be free, and it's going to have some additional maps and new content for players, which is cool. Maybe they'll add some more customization options. But yeah, so look forward to that. And let's go on to some quick stories here. Saints Row 3. There's a lot of character customization in those games. And, well, they're releasing an initiation station that will allow you to share your created characters with other people. Which is kind of crazy. I certainly want to show everybody how good I look in the hot dog suit. Sporting a double-headed dildo weapon. Because that is pretty much the only way to play Saints Row, I feel.
I'm curious what this, if there's going to be any swag for this game at E3. And
I feel that the only thing they could give out in swag would get you patted down by the TSA. But that would be pretty hilarious if they gave you one of those things. And I don't want to. This is a fairly family-friendly podcast, so I don't want to delve further.
Yeah, we can't even say the name of their contest that they're having at E3.
They cannot. Yeah, we cannot.
We can't even say the name of it. It's
hilarious and foul. So anyway, let's move on to cleaner things like shooting people. As a future soldier, you know, as a member of the Ghost Recon. But you're going to have to wait till 2012 because it got delayed. Which is sad. Because the last Ghost Recon, like, there was a 3DS one, but the last Ghost Recon was Gras 2, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a few years old at this point, and I was kind of hoping there'd be another one soon, and now it's not quite as soon.
Yeah, and it was looking pretty far along last year at E3, so must have went back to the drawing board for some things.
So Magicka apparently did pretty well because the sequel is a matter of when, not if, which is pretty cool. I can't wait to blow some people up while going Durka Durka or whatever the hell those little Swedish madmen are saying. And the console versions are, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, coming to the download services. That is not confirmed, but, you know, they're strongly hinted at. And I heard you like Steam sales, Nick.
I've been known to purchase a thing on Steam.
So, you know, those weekend sales and the midweek madness that you're always, you know, linking to and saying, I could spend $5 and get all 65 id games. And how great that is.
I know them all too well.
Yeah, well, what if I told you that they're going to be daily? Every day of the week, son, there's a Steam sale.
I'm just going to get the vacuum and
Steam is perpetually on sale. You can own all of the games on the PC. I can't, like, the number of games on Steam is pretty staggering already, and the fact that, you know, with daily deals and all these package bundles, someone could eventually have like 1,000 games in their list is insane. I know I only have like 80 in mine, and I feel like my Steam list is small.
Yeah.
Compared to some other people I know, but that's great. especially if you're new to PC gaming or just want to check out some of your backlog, or hell, even get a copy that acts as a backup to the CD you already own on the cheap.
I've been known to do that.
Yeah, I have too. It's a good thing. Steam is good people, and they are making it very easy to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on PC games that you'll play for 5 minutes and never play again because you have no time. I mean, come on. Like, there's like sales upon sales of things like the original Witcher, and Witcher 2 comes out this week. So it's like, here, have an 80-hour game. Also, buy this new 80-hour game. Oh, that's a month of your total playtime. Sweet. Anyway.
That's not fair.
Let's move on and talk about Brink for a while, because this is one of the most divisive games that has come out in quite some time, I feel. I'm falling into the camp of I like it despite itself. It does have some problems. I know some people that absolutely hated it. Where do you stand, Nick?
I really like it. I don't have any quarrels with the actual gameplay or any of those kind of elements. Like, I think most of my issues have been technical with it.
Yeah.
You know, some lag stuff, and I had an issue the other night where I was playing and the sound popped and it didn't play sound for the rest of the game.
Yep, that's a pretty common one.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, you know, it's got some technical issues, but gameplay-wise, I think it's really solid, and it's pretty fun as a multiplayer game. But, you know, as a single-player game, it is just brutally difficult and not fun.
I mean, to put not it, fun what, at all.
No, actually. I mean, it's really not, because not only is the AI against you really tough, but your AI partners are really dumb. So, you know, there'll be times where you'll get downed and you'll have two medics standing right next to you and they won't freaking revive you. And
it's, are you sure you weren't playing multiplayer?
I've had all good matches to, you know, knock on wood. I haven't played in a single bad match. You know, maybe I've just been lucky. You know, to be honest, I haven't played all that much. You know, maybe a dozen separate times. But
I have had a match or two where someone on a headset was raging at people who were picking medic and not reviving anybody.
Yeah.
There was one match where he and I were the engineers, and the main goal was to protect the engineers to move a bot through the level.
Uh-huh.
And the medic kept standing next to us and healing himself. He was using the bot as cover.
Oh,
and trying to kill things, and he would heal himself, and whenever the engineers died, the bot would get knocked out of commission, and you couldn't move it because the engineers had to repair it, and rather than heal us, he chose to keep healing himself. And the other engineer was on mic, and he was just screaming. It was kind of hilarious. But yeah, you know, I think my big issue with the game is that at least in the co-op, the bonus points you get for doing the main objective, the one that's highlighted in yellow, force everyone to kind of swarm in the same location. Like, there's side objectives. You're like, oh, I can go escort this guy, or I can go, you know, I play a lot of engineers, so I see most of these. Like, I can build a staircase that will allow me to bypass a big chunk of platforming. You know, there are things like that. And you could spread out and say, okay, you guys go build this thing so we can, you know, corpse run faster, and you protect him. But the problem I find is that no one really does that. They just say, oh, this big yellow blinking thing is what I should be doing. So all of the players on your team are doing the same objective.
But it's not yellow for everybody. It's based on class. So if the main objective requires an engineer, it's only yellow for the engineer.
Right.
The other classes, the medic.
A lot of the objectives aren't class specific.
What should happen, and from what I've seen, for the one you're talking about with the bot moving through the level, I played as a medic actually on that level, and my main objective was to protect the engineers.
Yeah.
So it was yellow for me. So I don't know. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to Depending on your class, your main objective will shift. Sure, there's an overall main objective, and you'll see that counter always in the top right. And that's always selectable for people. But it's supposed to shift the objectives based on your class.
Right. And it does. Don't get me wrong, but the problem is I found more often than not, players would be lumped together.
Yeah.
It'd be like a choke point in the level, and no one could get past it because, you know, team play broke down. Now, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times when we absolutely steamrolled the other team, and the game flowed perfectly. And more often than not, that's the case. But I don't know, maybe it's people who didn't watch the "Hey guys, console players are dumb" wall intro video on the PC version and ignored the fact that they could bring up the objective wheel. And that could simply be the case, is that they didn't communicate that idea well enough.
Yeah. Maybe the game would do better to auto-select the objectives for people by default, you know, and instead, you know, still give the objective wheels an option. But if you choose whatever, maybe it does. I never really paid attention. Maybe
yeah.
You know, if you choose a class, maybe it does default to whatever the main objective is. I think the big thing that falls out for me in terms of the actual gameplay is while the command centers or the command points or whatever the heck they're called are a real big part of the thing, they always seem to fall by the wayside. Like, you'll hear it, they'll say, you know, enemy is capturing command center.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't, like, it breaks down to, like, where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. And no one, like I said, this was the problem that I've had with the PC where no one's communicating is, no one goes and actually goes to get it. So what ends up happening is everyone just uses the default command center, and they always spawn 25, 30 seconds away from the action and have to run back instead of capturing the ones that are closer and pushing up. So,
yeah, one of the other problems I had with it is that some of the levels, especially the vertically oriented levels, like where there's multiple levels of multiple planes, so there's like a ground and then a second story that they can be you can be shot down at. I find that some of the areas in the game are actually, I don't know if it's poorly designed or easily exploitable, but there are places when you'll be given a protect objective, like protect this thing for X amount of time, and there's an upper level, and the other team can essentially pick you off without you being able to see them. And I ran that level where you're escorting the bot is a pretty good example of the way the level is designed, the colors chosen, and everything, making it so that one of the teams is practically invisible. So it's like I'd go and try and repair the bot, and I'd get shot, and I'd be like, "Okay, where did that shot come from?" And I panned my camera every which way and didn't even see an enemy player. And a lot of people, you know, would chime up and say, like, "Where the hell? What the hell just shot me? You know, why am I dead? I don't know why." And that happens an awful lot. Happens more so in the co-op because you have bots, and bots behave like bots. Whereas a player is going to run out and be doing parkour everywhere and, you know, taking pot shots at random times, but it just seems like the AI is a little too good. It actually brought back memories of Quake 3 Arena, if you ever included bots in some of your matches, and they were, like, laser-focused and insane.
Yeah, it's easy to tell, especially in a game like that, when the AI cheats.
Yeah,
It's always like this. Just happened to me today, and actually, SOCOM 4. It was really awesome to see that the AI was like true to itself. Because we were laying down fire on some guys, and I watched them come up. I was dead, so I'm like watching my body, and I watched the guys come up, and they go and think they're tracking down the guy that was trying to revive me, and they're shooting. But he actually did like a big loop around and snuck behind him. Mm-hmm. But they were shooting where he was. So, like, I could see that they weren't cheating and, like, that they knew he moved. They were just shooting at the area where he was in the last time that they actually saw him. So, it's when games cheat like that and automatically basically magnet to the player.
Yeah. Well, there's also, it also definitely feels like they included Mario Kart AI.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you pull really far ahead of the co-op, you know, the the bots that show up in the co-op mode, if you pull really hard, far ahead of them, all of a sudden they will get a lot better and stonewall you.
Yeah.
So, there's some issues. Like, obviously, it's a game that you should be playing online at all times. The game is basically set up to do that by default. If I remember right, you actually have to set your visibility to solo manually, or else it puts you in an online match, which is great. And I love the game. I love a lot about it. But there are certain things that just irk me, and I feel like I'm listing so many things that would make this game terrible, but they're just little things that could be balanced or tweaked. Like,
and I think they're gonna be.
Yeah, like one of my really big ones is the fact that none of the guns really feel that different to me.
Yeah,
it's like there's the heavy there's like a heavier machine gun, a lighter SMG, and a pistol. And though there are like six versions of each of those, I couldn't tell the difference between any of them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is my SMG. Oh, this is my heavy gun. And this is my pistol. And that's it. That's it. That's all I
really
I could
think
tell.
There's also there's a like a bolt action rifle kind of a gun as well.
Yeah.
But I think they kind of did that on purpose. So while it appears that there's, 30 guns in the game, there really is only five. And that's for balance issues. And then, like, you choose those five based on how they look, and then you can customize them further to make them yours even more.
Yeah.
And I think that's the end of the day. It's, they might sound a little bit different or whatever, but I think, there's five guns, and that's it. And
the other thing is the upgrades that you can attach to those guns come from the challenge mode. Mm-hmm. And you can play the challenge mode in co-op, but if you choose to go it solo, I mean, good luck. Yeah. I mean, I breezed through all the one-star challenges, pretty easily. There were some where I died a bunch, but was still able to get through it. But as soon as you bump up to the second level or the third level, it's like, it's next to impossible unless you get a co-op partner or three, because it's absurd. It's like the amount of bullets it takes to take down a guy, the fact that you, unless you're a soldier, you can't replenish your ammo without a soldier.
Yeah.
And, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to do this objective as an engineer, and oh, I have a bunch of brain dead AI partners, and oh, there's eight guys all shooting me, and I don't have enough ammo to kill more than three of them. It's like, make it so it's online only. Don't, like, if you can't make it so that it's soloable, then make it so I have to play it in co-op. And I'd probably complain about that too, but, for right now, it's like, have you tried doing any of those challenges?
Yeah, I blasted the same thing. I got through all the one star and most of the two stars. The only one that I think I've tried on three stars has been the parkour. This one,
yeah.
I definitely see the same thing, especially that first challenge where you have to switch classes and do each objective. It's just it's brutal.
So. Yeah. When the game works, it's beautiful. It works really well. The team play, all the characters fit each other really well. And, once you've upgraded your guy a lot, you start seeing a lot more variety out of the characters. Like, I still get surprised when an engineer tosses me the Kevlar buff.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, buffing my gun or something like that. There is a good deal of personal choice that goes into that. And the character customization is great. I really love it. I remember when I played the preview build, it looked like there was a lot more to it than what actually shipped. So I'd imagine that some of the DLC is going to be costume packs and whatnot. Hopefully free. But, yeah. So as a team game, I think it has a few shortcomings, but overall it works really well. As a co-op game, play it online. It's the way that I would never recommend you touch the solo game. If you haven't played it yet, you should definitely just set it to online and hope for the best. And I guess that's Brink.
Brink.
Brink. We brinked and brought and brunk. Anyway, let's start wrapping things up and talk about some upcoming co-op releases. There are a couple. The PSN version of Gatling Gears should be out by the time you hear this. That is tomorrow, the 18th.
That's if the store comes up.
If the store comes up. That is true. It is true. It's probably delayed. My bad. And on next week, man, D&D Daggerdale.
Yeah, I just actually got an email today about it. So it definitely sounds like it's coming. And we should have our review on launch day, hopefully.
Ooh. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we both played D&D Daggerdale at PAX East and really liked it. And it's releasing on all platforms except maybe PlayStation 3 unless the store comes back up.
Yeah,
on the 24th.
Yep.
And we have reviewed plenty of games. There's actually a lot more than I thought we had since we had that enormous storm of game reviews a while back. But we did review Brink and Bang.io HD Missile Fury.
Bang.io!
I have not played any Bang.io games since the Dreamcast version of the first one. But I assume that this is just as insane, if not more so.
Yeah, you have no idea what's going on, really.
Yeah, I heard you have to yell Bang.io, and that's the key to success.
They definitely implemented that as a feature. That's the key to success.
Excellent. Darkspore, Outland, and the Section 8 Prejudice review, and I believe that got updated for the PC stuff, right?
Yeah, the PC version came out. The nice thing about the PC version for Achievement Horrors is it's a full 50 achievement or 1,000 point game.
Ooh.
So there's a lot more achievements to go for and stuff in it, and the PC version is a lot prettier and smoother than the Xbox Live Arcade version. So,
and it also makes an interesting contrast to Brink.
Yeah, it really does in terms of pricing and everything else.
It's like a $15 game that has about the same amount of content as a $60 game.
Yeah, it really does. In fact, it might have more maps.
Yeah, they just unlocked that new mode.
Yeah,
yeah,
which I haven't played.
Yeah. And you also reviewed the Sound Science Rokus 3D 2.1 speaker system.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. And, yeah. So we have site features, and you should read them. And here are the ones that have been posted since we last spoke. There was an interview about Bang.io HD Missile Fury, specifically asking, what's with the fruit? Fruit has been an essential power-up and collectible in video games, obviously since Pac-Man. But there might be more to it in Bang.io, but you'll have to read the interview to find that out. There's co-op classics for Escape from the Planet of Robot Monsters, the Indiana co-op titled The Joys of Co-op Nostalgia, co-op couples, The Perfect Partner, Gaming Inside Out was the latest the Co-Optimist Community Voice topic. And there was an on the download about the best games to play during finals, and MMO co-opportunities for DC Universe Online. Spoilers, you can't play it.
I thought it was funny that one did come out during the downtime.
Yeah, I think actually, did it come back up with PSN, or is it tied to the SOE downtime?
I believe it's tied to the SOE stuff, but I thought the SOE stuff came back up on Monday.
Yeah, so, you know, up until recently, there was a nice break from DC Universe Online. And, you know what? If you love us, you should buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store, because they are very comfortable, and they're stylish, if I do say so myself. You should leave some feedback for us on iTunes if you acquire the podcast through them. And follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus without the dash. And Nick wants me to remind you all to download our new Android app. Because unlike our Windows 7 app, it got published to the Android store.
Curse you, Microsoft, and your stingy requirements.
Yes.
What do you mean you can't see it on a dark screen? Can't see it on a dark screen.
Whatever.
Set the screen to bright.
I think you're racist, Nick.
Maybe.
And you should also leave us a voicemail. The number is 646-926-6748. And this has been the Co-Opticast. I am Mike. That chucklehead is Nick. And we will see you in 2 weeks, give or take.
Yep. Bye-bye.